ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How we doing? Johnny's giving me a different mic.
Oh, okay. He's Blank. I'm Branham. The show's off to a hot start. Belmer behind the glass.
What,
John
Belmer
filling in. Sure.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
I was wondering why you sounded a little quiet. I
saw
it was
the
my
blue
headset.
Light out of the corner of my eye on the wrong mic.
That's well played.
Look at that awareness. That
situational
one.
Awareness from Blankers.
That's right.
Well, you thought wrong, Belmer.
Hey, by the way, John Belmer's in today.
You thought wrong. yeah, I'm in a sad mood. I'm not going to.
I
who
saw
knows
the
what's going to happen over the next 3 hours because I am tired. I am grumpy. And I'm very
Why
sad.
Why grumpy?
I'm very sick. Because of Ben Johnson.
Oh,
I'm grumpy because
else.
Of Benny Johnson and lack of sleep.
By the way, you dropping Benny Johnson on our happy to be here Mike Tannenbaum yesterday was funny.
Oh, did I?
Yes. Because he kind of paused even more when you said it.
I mean, it's become second nature. The Detroit Lions are my favorite team in the NFC going forward.
Look, not nice.
We saw this. Why? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Green Bay. I didn't
Same
put two
division
in
and everything.
That's okay. It's good for us to have a rivalry. Yeah. Ben Johnson's taking his name out of consideration. I'm very sad. I'm going to be completely honest with you because he was this show's favorite candidate.
Yep.
And he's been this show's favorite candidate since, like, week 8 of the NFL season. Yeah. I think we kind of discovered Benny Johnson in the city of Houston,
we did.
To be completely honest. He took an offense that was in the bottom 10 of the NFL and made him a top 5 offense. And this is something that I need to get better at. I needed to stop, like, looking ahead. Because I was starting to think of Benny Johnson with whatever rookie quarterback coming in here and lighting the NFL on fire with this new this new offense, this great play caller. And I was very excited for that. And now we're going to get Jonathan Gannon, and who knows what's going to happen. Like, I set myself up for my own disappointment, but I am sad today because this offseason shaped up to be very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
It shaped up to be very exciting. I was looking forward to this offseason all NFL season long because the Texans were lousy, and this offseason shaping up to be huge for the Houston Texans. Here we are in the middle of January, and the offseason hope that I have had has already taken a hit.
Yeah, it's you looked for that. It was that you were looking forward to a refreshing offseason where suddenly it wasn't going to be doom and gloom, and it wasn't going to be Texans are going to Texan. And the way that, like I said, whether they're getting help or not, the re-imaging and the way that they were doing everything to be more transparent, more structured, more ahead of the game gave you a lot of excitement. And then when they announced their candidates, like you said, you and I had dialed in right away to Ben Johnson and said, that's the guy. That's the up-and-coming guy, the offensive mind that this franchise needs, that this quarterback, whoever it is going to need, that's going to make them better. And it's going to be the hit of a lot of hopefully hits to come instead of misses. Now, all of a sudden, and Vegas is right on this with Jonathan Gannon. You and I were talking about this off the air yesterday, that the odds have changed and continues to change in the favor of Jonathan Gannon being the next coach of the Houston Texans. And I thought, oh, God, Texans are going to Texan even when they can't, when it's not basically their choice. Something's going to happen to allow them to keep doing what they've been doing, and they can't get out of their own way. And you hope that this isn't the kind of revisionist history where we go back and look at it and go, here's just another example. You hope that somehow they still can huddle up again and say, no, Jonathan Gannon's not the answer. There's still other guys out there. Maybe there's someone that we haven't interviewed yet. But it just feels like this is the start of the letdown to where we get back to where we've always been with this Texans team over the last 3 years.
I'm having a huge case of Houston battered sports fan syndrome here. And the whole Texans gonna Texan. I have grown pessimistic here. I'm not going to lie. My top candidate, our top candidate, mm-hmm. now is off the list. And we were talking yesterday, like we went from kind of positive to negative over the course of a day. Because yesterday, interviewing Sean Payton was a good thing. I think it brought, I use the word clout, it brought a level of seriousness to this organization. I know Paul was talking about how this is one of the best things that's ever happened to the organization. I don't necessarily disagree. You can kind of nitpick where it stacks up, where it ranks, blah, 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 blah. But when you have a respected coach like Sean Payton, who's the best coach resume-wise in this coaching carousel, and he's talking good about the Houston Texans, and he's taking the interview with the Houston Texans. That is a positive thing from, like, the world of PR, public relation and perception, because a lot of times perception is reality, where he's telling you, yeah, I'm cool with ownership. Okay, that's something that we've never heard about Kyle McNair, was that somebody who has the resume of a Sean Payton in the NFL is cool with Kyle McNair. He's cool with Nick Caserio. Oh, okay. That makes you feel better about what the Houston Texans have in the front office and at the very top with ownership, because you can't escape bad ownership. But today is worse than yesterday was good, because here is the reality of the situation, Blankers. Ben Johnson was up for two jobs. He was up for Carolina, which he grew up in South Carolina, high school South Carolina, went to college at North Carolina where he played quarterback, and the Houston Texans. Benny Johnson, look, I'm a huge subscriber to the notion of keep it simple, stupid. Benny Johnson was up for those two jobs. Benny Johnson was up for the Houston Texans job, and Benny Johnson told you yesterday that he'd rather be the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions. He'd rather be the OC for the Detroit Lions than to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. And that is a sad place to be if you're Kyle McNair, Nick Caserio, and the Houston Texans.
Now, do you put that more on the Texans, or do you put that, because we can look at this a lot of different ways. Because like you said, he's a Carolina kid. He was the leading candidate to be the coach of the Panthers, even if you wanted him. And it made a lot of sense. Do we put it on the fact that this is the Texans going to Texan, or do we put it on the fact that maybe Ben Johnson realized he just wasn't ready for primetime yet? Like, as he saw and got vibes of Nathaniel Hackett after going through the interview process and realized, hey, there are certain guys, we've said there's two different ways to look at this in terms of coordinators. Some coordinators are never meant to be head coaches. Wade Phillips is a perfect example. Always a great coordinator.
But the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator is going to be like, yeah, I'm not ready to be a head coach. I don't have head coaching material. That's never going to come from the guy.
I think that there are guys that come into the league, and obviously they have aspirations of someday being a head coach. But maybe when they go through the interview process and they realize, maybe I'm not ready yet. Maybe there's something that gave them apprehension about the fact that, hey, there's more to it than just me calling plays and doing what I do and being a really elaborate, forward-thinking offensive mind in the NFL. It's a lot of the things that got Hackett in trouble. It's the day-to-days and the psychologist and all the other things that you – and the leader and all the other things that go with being a head coach, that maybe he got the vibe that he wasn't ready yet. Like, there's going to be a time, but maybe my time isn't now. I'm just throwing it out there because I think that that's something that I've heard as well and had a discussion. I've
heard from who?
I've heard, well, first of all, I heard the bench talking about this morning.
Benny Johnson thought that Benny Johnson was not ready to be a head coach in the NFL.
John mentioned it this morning, too, because I was thinking it. I had a conversation with my buddies at the gym. I was driving back from the gym listening to the bench. John and Lance were talking about it, and John had mentioned, hey, maybe he felt a little, you know, I don't think he used overmatched, but maybe he felt a certain way or didn't go through the interview. The interviews didn't go well.
I think he doesn't like the job. I think he doesn't like the Houston
Carolina
job. I don't think he likes the Carolina job. I think that Ben Johnson, I think, quite frankly, and no offense here, I think that's an incredible reach. That Ben Johnson's like, oh yeah, I'm not ready to be a head coach, or I'm only an offensive coordinator mind. And I think it's very disrespectful to call Ben Johnson and put him in the same conversation with Nathaniel Hackett. I think that's disrespectful to Benny Johnson. I think that and there's a lot of maybes in that whole little kind of diatribe about Ben Johnson not taking these jobs either. I think it's pretty simple. He doesn't want to be the head coach for Carolina and Houston. He knows that in another year, and this is dangerous because Byron Leftwich last year was interviewing for head coaching positions, and right now he's hanging to his offensive coordinator job by a string, right? So, like, it is dangerous for a dude who is a hot candidate to not accept a head coaching job, because you never know what 12 months is going to have in store for you. For Byron Leftwich, he went from being a top head coach target to now potentially being fired as the offensive coordinator for Tampa Bay. So there is risk for Benny Johnson. I don't think that there's any other solution or answer to this story than Ben Johnson did not want to be the head coach of Carolina, did not want to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. He's willing to wait a year to see better options in a season. I think that that is what is happening with Ben Johnson.
I disagree, simply because of the fact that I think that, you know, for him to say we're building something special in Detroit and that's why I'm staying.
But that's not his future. Detroit's not his future.
Right, but Eric Bieniemy is another one where he
would,
like,
no one hires Bieniemy.
Like, Bieniemy
tried to get out.
His first year out there said, I think it's better for me to stay in Kansas City.
Is worse
than
now.
After that, then there was a lot of things that happened subsequently that kind of tarnished the image to where he's been diminished in terms of being a candidate. And obviously Andy Reid is trying to let him to call plays and do things to try and pump his stock back up. But overall, I don't think it's a reach to say that, because I think that there's a lot of people. I've been in situations where I've been offered jobs or I've interviewed for jobs, and leaving it, I was like, I'm not sure that's the right job for me. I don't know if...
Because you didn't like the job, not because you didn't feel like you were ready.
I think there were...
You thought you weren't good enough for the job.
Not that I wasn't good enough.
There you go.
I think that when I got into the interview process, I didn't realize how much they were expecting me to do outside of the realm of what I had done in my career. And it gave me a time to pause and say...
You don't think Benny Johnson knows what's being asked of him as being a head coach, though?
Dan Campbell's a pretty domineering head coach. He does a ton of stuff. I don't think that he has to know... That Ben Johnson has to know everything Dan Campbell does.
Sure, but I this might be crazy, but I think an offensive coordinator in the NFL understands the position of what is required from a head coach in the NFL.
Okay. Well, Nathaniel Hackett should have, too, and he
didn't. He was just lousy.
But he didn't understand.
He sucked. I think part of sucking
is not understanding.
There's a difference between knowing what you're required to do and then failing to meet those requirements. I think everybody has an understanding of what the requirements are to be a head coach in the NFL.
But I think if you suck at it, it's because you didn't understand from time management and challenges and decision making that you had to have the same amount of research and input put into that as you did your game plan for a team in week one or four or six or whatever.
I agree with all of that. Do you think Nathaniel Hackett, whenever he was being interviewed for head coaching jobs, looked himself in the mirror and goes, "You're not ready to be a head coach"?
I think that...
Absolutely not.
I think there... Look, Jeremy, if you are real with yourself, there's definitely times when you're all by yourself or with your significant other where you can question things and go, I don't know if I want to sign up for all this. Now, he could say, look, the money's something that I'm never going to turn down. This is it's like a David Culley. If they're going to offer me the chance of my lifetime to one time no one can ever take it away from me. I was the head coach in the NFL, and I'm getting the money that goes with it. Well, I'm taking it, and I'll take my chances. But I think that it's natural to have reservations sometimes about being, looked at for a job and saying, wow, this is a little bit more than I thought it was going to be.
I think he's waiting for a better job. I don't think he likes
Maybe
these
that's
two.
That's true, too.
713-780-ESPN. How you feeling that Benny Johnson took his name out of consideration, says uh-uh to Carolina, says uh-uh to Houston, and says uh-huh to the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator position? Also, who is your top dude now? Benny Johnson was both of our top candidates. Who is it now? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
He's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Blankers, I brought you back some crackling. Don't say I never think about you. I brought you back some crackling. You interested?
What is it?
It's crackling. I just told you. It's crackling.
What is crackling? Define it.
There's always a debate on what exactly it is. I've always thought it was like the pig stomach and a little bit of the meat. But some people were pushing back at me. It's vegan. It's vegan. You'll love it.
It doesn't sound vegan.
Try
it doesn't sound delicious.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound anything.
Try it, Joel.
Try it for the show.
Thanks, John.
Try it for the show.
I'm
it's
good.
Delicious.
Thanks.
I love this stuff. You like crackling?
I do.
Why do they call it crackling?
Probably because when you put it into the fryer, it crackles. That's my guess. I don't know. That's just a total guess. Why is it called crackling? 713-780-3776. I stopped at some of the spots that I normally stop in my way to NOLA. I listened to some of our listeners, too, and stopped at, what is it called? Man, I forgot the name of it. It's a po' boy spot in Jennings. Is it called? I don't think it was called Perry's. Anyways, whatever. But, yeah, if you want to try some crackling, I'll give some to Belmer here in a little bit. It's fantastic. It is delicious. You've never had crackling?
No,
I don't. How are you not willing
to
try
it?
We'll put some ketchup on it for you if that'll make it more enticing for you.
Oh, thanks. I think sounds disgusting.
Benny Johnson's gone. He has as much interest in the Texans job as Blankers does with crackling. I'm of the belief that he just doesn't like these jobs, is waiting around to get a better job in a year. Blankers thinks it could be cold feet, maybe? Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Cold feet?
Yeah.
kind of sums up everything. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get into our who do we want now? Because Ben Johnson was unanimous between the two of us. He was our top target. And now he's left us at the altar. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. LSU Brian. Should the Texans hire Brian Kelly? You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Brian?
What's up, guys? Hey, so before I give you a step, hey, Cracklins, I'm from Louisiana. Cracklins are, it is a pigskin. It's not the inner parts of the.
So you're eating a football. So it's only the skin. Where does the meat come from? Is the inside of the skin a little meat?
Would you like to know?
Yeah. So you got some of the skin, and then you got some of the meat.
That's what I thought.
And you was right. So it's called Cracklins because I mean it's crackling when you deep fry it.
Look how smart I am. Look how smart I am. Just call me Cajun Brand. I'm from here on out.
So you like eating football?
That's one route through I-10 in Louisiana. You got it, huh?
Appreciate
Johnson was Ben Johnson was my number one also, just like y'all guys. So I follow the Saints. I'm of course a Saints fan. So I'll give y'all a little backstory on. I heard some people saying they didn't like Sean because he quit on his team. He quit on the Saints. And I can tell y'all that's the furthest from the truth. Really, the reason Sean left is because Sean got married a couple years ago, and his wife was dead set on not living in New Orleans.
Why? It's a great place.
Well, the crime, and that's what I heard. She was not a New Orleans person, but so after Ben, to me, he's the next best candidate, man. And now, if he's really serious about the Texans, I'm not sure. But that's all you got left. I mean, you got a couple more guys, but he was my second. And if you got to give up 12 for it, then you got to. Sean's proven, man. Nope. That's the one you go after now.
No, you lost me there.
Appreciate the call, LSU Brian. Thanks for all the insight. LSU Brian and I are basically, you know, related because we're both Cajuns. Where did he lose you?
Oh, boy. I'm giving up the 12.
See, the 12th is
too high.
12th is too high. 12th, I mean, would you rather? Okay. Let me put your feet to the fire. Let me put your feet to the fire here. Would you rather have Thomas Brown and the 12th pick of the NFL draft or Sean Payton?
Well, I mean, Thomas Brown is a tight ends coach. I don't think he brings enough to the table.
Yes or no? What would you rather have?
Sean Payton.
There you go. Okay. Would you rather have Ejiro Evero in the 12th pick or Sean Payton?
Okay. Well, I can get
these guys are on the list. This isn't a reach here. Like, I'm not just like pulling things from thin air. These guys have been interviewed for the job, and now the top, like, that is one. That's a quarter of the candidates.
You can pick whoever you want from, because like I said, I want them to interview as many. We don't know how many are realistic candidates, but I want them to interview as many guys as they can for the intel, for the information, to also maybe see if maybe they miss something on somebody and they can learn something from everybody that they talk to, just like they learn something from being interviewed. But I don't think that the guys that you mentioned are going to be leading candidates for this job and finalists.
What's more likely? Okay, this is a silly question. That Brown or Evero are hired, or that somebody that's not currently on this list is hired?
I think it's more likely someone that's not on this list so far is hired.
See, I'm of the belief that it's going to be somebody from this list. But I'm also of the belief it's not Brown or Evero.
In the situation scenario you just painted, I think there would be more of a likelihood that someone, you know, comes into the picture late.
Yeah.
And that's not unheard of with the Texans, where suddenly a name comes in late and becomes the leading candidate.
It's kind of the thing that
they do. It's kind of the norm. It's more than possible. And I think that I don't want it to be probable. That's why the Ben Johnson thing, with the way that everything has made sense that they have done so far to this point to get us to where we're feeling better about the Houston Texans, that's what's scary now. Is the guy that we both wanted, that we thought should be the leading candidate, is now out. So now you're left with, do we give up some draft capital that we sorely need to get the one name that brings credibility to the table immediately, or do we throw another crap? It's not quite a crapshoot, but it's another hit or miss proposition after two misses.
I would prefer it to be, if we're operating with the intel that it has to be a mid to late first round draft pick. Everything has told us that. Mickey Loomis has told us that. Reports have told us that. Sean Payton has told us that. I would like it to be the Cleveland 2024 first round pick. If I could do it for that, I think it's a different conversation than number 12. That said, let me hit you some rapid fires. Would you, like, because you just answered the Brown, the Evero question. Would you rather have Jonathan Gannon and pick number 12 or Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Okay.
Because I don't want a defensive-minded head coach.
Would you rather have Mike Kafka and pick number 12 or Sean Payton?
Mike Kafka.
Shane Steichen, same question.
I would rather have Steichen.
D'Amico Ryans.
I don't want a defensive-minded head coach.
So, see, your list before, like, Sean Payton is currently your third option. Sean Payton's currently my fourth option. Here's one thing that's concerned me about. Actually, I'm gonna tease this going to break. Look at me being a radio professional. The one conspiracy theory that I have. Look, Benny Johnson is gone. I'm starting to get pessimistic. I'm not going to lie with you. I'm starting to feel like the Texans are going to Texan here. Something that happened earlier today that I think Sean Payton is saying he's not interested in the Houston Texans head coaching job. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Look at that. Look at that crackling.
You're eating football. Not when you say that you eat, sleep, live, and die football.
Pork skin.
You're eating parts in your hand.
A little bit of the meat. It's so good. It's such a good bite.
You're eating pig skin. It's pretty damn good.
What did you think, Belmer?
Oh, I think it's great.
I gave Belmer some because Belmer's a man. Belmer likes crackling. I'll get you the vegan version next time.
I bet you will.
Would you have it if it was vegan?
What is that, like a cactus? The skin of the cactus with a little meat on it?
How do you relate a cactus to a pig?
Because it's tough, like a pig skin?
In my culture, cactus is a vegetable. Like, I've eaten cactus a lot. Okay. It's a green. It's a green that you put next to, like, some discada.
I'm saying if you get the vegan version of crackling, it's got to be plant-based.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a vegan version. I was lying to you, trying to get you to eat it, completely honest with you. How's that have anything to do with Skip?
Because, you know, Skip would fudge the truth.
Would lie to you saying that crackling's vegan.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to eat it.
Yeah, or
that's
going
to get us clicks.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's going to get us clicks somehow. Yeah. 8029, Lance said that there isn't a good player in the for the 12th pick, so trading the pick for Payton should be a no-brainer. I would disagree with that. I think there's going to be some really good players at number 12.
If a certain receiver slides to number 12.
Which one?
TCU.
Quentin Johnston. I've heard some people say they like Jordan Addison more than Quentin Johnston. I would not agree with that. Yeah. He's smaller.
Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Yeah. He was the best receiver money could buy in last year's transfer portal. He got the bag to head over to Lincoln Riley and be Caleb Williams' top receiver. I think there's going to be a really good player at number 12.
I
now, you have to hit. There's no doubt about that. 713-780-ESPN. Here is my fear with Sean Payton. Okay. This is what I'm worried about. Put me in check here if I need to be put in check. This is my conspiracy theorist, my conspiracy theory, I should say. Okay. Who have we heard that Sean Payton's defensive coordinator is going to be? Who has he been attached at the hip with, like, for the last year? Vic Fangio, former Denver Bronco head coach. Like, they are a pairing. They're gonna be a tandem. They're a team.
Well,
Payton goes, Fangio goes.
Fangio was a long-time Saints coach. Yeah.
Okay, and he was a former head coach at Denver,
yep.
Was a former DC with the Texans, too, as a matter of fact. But everybody's been saying that wherever Sean Payton goes, he's bringing along Vic Fangio to be his defensive coordinator. Okay, where's the one spot where Vic Fangio might not be an option? Probably where he's
Denver.
A head coach, right?
Yep.
The Denver head coach. Earlier today, I think it was Rappaport that reported it. Maybe it was Pellicero. I apologize to whoever won it was not, or it was. Vic Fangio's interviewing with the Atlanta Falcons today for the defensive coordinator job. Why is Vic Fangio interviewing for other positions if he's attached at the hip at Sean Payton and Sean Payton's going to a non-Denver team where Vic Fangio's just going to follow along Sean Payton? We also heard that Sean Payton had a long, productive meeting with the Denver Broncos, and he also met with a couple of the owners in the ownership group with the Denver Broncos. My theory is that Sean Payton loved what he saw with Denver. Denver was probably the top option all along, and he's telling Vic Fangio, Denver might not want you back because you were the head coach here not that long ago, and they don't want me to bring you along as my defensive coordinator. Sean Payton's not going to turn down his favorite job because of Vic Fangio. He's well-connected, probably has some other defensive minds that exist. Vic Fangio's now taking other defensive coordinator interviews. My theory here, tell me if I'm loony, tell me if I'm wild, which you're going to tell me that anyways.
Yep.
But tell me if I'm being nuts here, that Sean Payton likes what he sees with Denver. He's on the way to the Mile High City. They don't want him to bring Vic Fangio, so Vic Fangio is going to take a D.C. job somewhere else.
I think there's some legs to it. I think there's some possibilities to it. I'm not saying that you're spot on, but I'm not saying you're wrong, because I think that that happens all the time, and I think we see it. It's also the bizarre case where sometimes guys can actually go back and look like a demotion but don't care because they like the city, the environment. They had a relationship with the organization. It's not just Billy Martin and the Yankees because he never took a demotion, but there are guys that have done that in the past. But I think that Sean Payton, like anything else, is loyal to his coaching staff. But if there's a situation that becomes a roadblock like that, he can get around it too. Vic is...
And he's going to get a job.
Like, Vic's going to get a job.
He's not leaving Vic without a job.
And he'll have an opportunity to get someone else as a DC. And everybody will shake hands and move forward. So it does make some sense. I think that all along I said, as much as the one thing from an organizational standpoint, because they need this. And I don't think people have factored this in enough to this point, which is... The two strikes, three strikes and you're out, obviously for Nick Caserio. But as an organization, you've swung and missed and you've got two strikes because of your two botched coaching hires. You can't take that much of a flyer on your third one. And at least from the standpoint of credibility, Sean Payton gets you a win and keeps you in the batter's box and keeps you swinging.
He's got to say yes.
Right.
I don't think he's going to.
And that's the thing. So it looks good that they're going after him. In the perfect scenario, from an organizational imaging standpoint, Sean Payton would be the guy for that reason. But I think, and we've talked about this, I think for the reasons of a rebuilding football team with a very depleted roster, that and Sean Payton's desire to continue to pick up where he left off and be a winning head coach, building a legacy for the long term in the NFL, it's not the right combination. It's not the right time, and it's not the right match. But because of the fact that the organization is so hyper-focused right now on imaging, Sean Payton makes a ton of sense, and at least they're getting the love of being the team that wanted to interview him that actually he interviewed with. But I don't, that's why I've said all along I don't want him.
Right.
But I also don't want a guy in his first time as a head coach that falls flat on his face, no matter how much you thought going into the process and through the interviews, was the guy.
You kind of want him. You don't want to tell yourself this. You don't want to admit
this. I'd like
this.
Him if I didn't have to give up anything
you,
for him.
Well, okay, but that's not going to happen. You so kind of want go. He's your third option. Like, he's currently your third option.
Well,
like,
then you want
him more than you think.
Either I want him, Jeremy, or I want more options. Because to me, I think there are other guys that are out there, and I'd like
name
more guys. Well, I think one guy that you got to talk to, whether it works out or not, he wants it, or you don't want him, but you don't have to pay for him, is Cliff Kingsbury. You have to talk to Cliff Kingsbury. Because he's an offensive mind, he's innovative, look, as much as it went sour and they got divorced, he got Kyler Murray to a point where Kyler Murray was playing good NFL football and got a massive extension. So he can take a kid out of college, especially a kid where a lot of fingers were pointed that he's too small and he's not good enough and he should have chose baseball, and he got him to a level where he was succeeding in the NFL. So you could do a lot worse. You asked for an example, and that's the first example that came to mind.
I don't think it's a bad one. I like Cliff. I think Cliff's actually a bit underrated. I think he gets
a lot of grief. There's a reason why a lot of teams want to talk to him as an OC, because he understands offense.
He's an offensive mind,
and
no doubt.
And from an ex-quarterback to a quarterback, I think he could do a lot of good for who you draft.
My reaction was more based on what the reaction would be publicly. I kind of like Cliff, to be honest with you. I think Cliff's very good. Not that long ago, Cliff Kingsbury was undefeated. What was it, through the first six games or eight games? And Arizona was like this dark horse Super Bowl contender. And he was doing it with Kyler Murray, who plays a lot of video games, doesn't study film, and doesn't have the mental game that you need to play the position at a very high level, right? So, like, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, did some really good things. This year, Cliff Kingsbury did not have a good year. Look at the injuries on that team, too. Like, how many games did Kyler Murray play? And then we're also questioning Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury with, like, the dude. Cliff Kingsbury with, like, a guy at the quarterback spot. Kyler Murray's an incredible talent. There is no questioning the talent of Kyler Murray. I think he's one of the greatest athletes in the world, literally. How many dudes drafted in the top 10 in two different professional sports? Kyler Murray lacks the mental aspect to play that position at a high level, and I would argue the mental aspect of playing that position is far more important than any of your athletic skills, traits, and attributes. So I think Kingsbury gets a little bit of a raw deal. I think people look at the Texas Tech thing and like, oh, he didn't win in college. Who cares? Like, you could also say that about Lovie Smith, but I think it takes two different guys. I think an NFL guy succeeds succeeds in the NFL. College guys succeed in the NFL. Some guys can do both. I think Nick Saban, if he would have been around long enough, or picked Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, I think he would have had success in the NFL. So I don't personally hate the Cliff Kingsbury hire. In fact, I would like Cliff more than Jonathan Gannon. It just does not seem like the Texans are going that route. I believe that they're going to hire a coach that's currently on this list that they currently have. I don't think that they're going to add any more. Now, you made the point earlier, the Texans have been known in the past to all of a sudden add a name, never interview him, and name him the head coach.
Kellen Moore do anything for you?
Not. He probably should, but he doesn't really. Like he should, but he doesn't.
We heard Tannenbaum yesterday, and I've heard some other people throw it out there that, and I heard BK yesterday on the way home throw it out there. Kellen Moore should be on people's list for a head coaching job. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think that because they had success last week and he's been kind of hot and cold since he's been with the Cowboys. Like, there's one of those guys that was a hot commodity a year ago that suddenly the fire has dwindled mightily. But now because of the game last week, people are saying, wait a minute, maybe he's got something there. I don't think he's a guy that impresses me enough or says that's the kind of guy the Texans should be looking at. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are other guys out there. I know that there are guys that you can still interview that could be a little bit more of a, I don't want to say a guarantee.
I think those two are two good names. Like if you're going outside of the list to add dudes to the list, I think those are two good names. I do. I don't think that they're going to do it, but that's not the conversation we're having.
Right.
We're having the conversation of who should they add to the list. And I don't mind those at all.
I've always been a Sean Payton fan. I think obviously the marriage between Sean Payton and Drew Brees is kind of like a lesser degree Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about who did more or who was totally responsible for it. Just understand the fact that as a team, they were pretty tough to beat. They were very, very successful. Now, when Drew Brees left, I think you have to be stupid to say there wasn't some correlation for when Peyton left New Orleans and Brees retiring. And the fact that because he didn't have the guy that he relied on for most of his success there anymore, that he didn't see a solution coming in the short term. He saw Jameis and went, oh boy, and didn't know where else because of the picks they had given up and some of the things that they had done in the past. It didn't have a pathway to getting another quarterback in there that could help him keep winning.
My sources say he left New Orleans because of his wife. That's the reason. He wasn't quitting on his team. He left the city because of the crime, and his wife didn't want to live there. That's what my sources have told me. You wanted to get to this thing from Sean Payton with Colin Cowherd the other day, because I think it's an important thing to talk about when you're talking about this organization. Sean Payton on Cowherd. One of the sound bites that kind of went under the radar that stuck out to Blankers?
Each team would be just like we're having that discussion. There'd be pros and that's the significance, though, of the upcoming week or two of meeting some of these individuals, asking some questions, maybe some difficult questions, and trying to get answers so that we're not having difficult questions when you've already taken the job.
I think it's extremely intriguing because I think it's smart on his part, because I think that when you look at it from the perspective of everybody says, well, he wants to talk to guys like Pierce and Davis Mills and Petrie, guys like that. I want to talk to Laremy Tunsil, too. I want to talk to Brandon Cooks because I'm signing up for an entire roster. So, yes, I want to see if Petrie is the guy I think I see on film, a guy that's just a football lifer, that's just, you know, ball above all, and he just wants to go get it and he attack the football wherever it is. I want to see that I got a kid like from Alabama – in Christian that you can at linebacker that I know I got a guy that's going to go all over and chase the football too. I got another dog. I need to talk to Stingley. I need to find out what's in his head, what he feels about the fact that they didn't play a lot of man, what he feels about his health. I need to know that too. But then take it a step further. I need to talk to some veterans too. Brandon Cooks, why didn't you want to be here? If I took the job, would you reconsider? Because I had you in New Orleans. If you'd still want to stay, I could make you what you were when you were with me with the Saints. Laremy Tunsil, I understand what you want to do from a pay scale standpoint, but would you be willing to do it while I rebuilt this team and did the things I needed to do? And so I think it's extremely intelligent that he said what he said. And I think a lot of people were so enamored by the first round pick that is the starting point for the trade that they missed that.
Yeah, I think setting the tone is very important. I think a lot of times, I think what you're seeing right now with the Rockets, that was never put into place. Like, you have to be able to do that from the very beginning. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Now that Benny is off the list, he'd rather be the OC in Detroit than be the Texans head coach. Who is the top of your list, And again, we're seeing the Houston Texans pay the price for ignorance. I'll tell you what I mean. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, you're probably mocking the Texans for paying the price for ignorance. You shouldn't pay the price for ignorance. And if you're not drinking Gentle Ben, you are paying the price for ignorance. Vodka, gin, bourbon, Gentle Ben does it all, and they do it better than anybody else. Why? Because they have a Proseto craft technology that's innovative. It's the only of the kind in the business. It makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of the Gentle Ben. If you haven't, why not? You're paying the price for ignorance. But if you do try it, you do compare it, you're going to be a Gentle Ben man or woman here on out, just like me. It is smooth, it is clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink, don't work through your drink. You can find the Gentle Ben Vodka, you can find the Gentle Ben Gin, you can find the bourbon pretty much everywhere now. Total Wine, you can also find it at Specs or head over online, gentleben.com. Head to the tasting room in Alvin. But you need to get your hands on this bourbon. It's semi-new to the market. It's been on the market for a couple of months now, but a double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. They give out the best, they give out the awards to the best bourbon, and Gentle Ben is the best. Double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Head over to Total Wine. Be on the lookout for the end caps. Gentle Ben end caps at Total Wine through the rest of the month. It's the best place to get your Gentle Ben. Also, keep in mind, meet the maker. Meet the genius behind it all. Meet Ricky Ford at the Meet the Maker events at Total Wine. The first one's coming up on the 20th, 2 days away this Friday in Cinco Ranch from 4 to 7. Can't make it there? Well, January 25th in West U. Can't make that one. January 27th in Memorial. Head to the Meet the Maker events with Ricky Ford and try the very best in the business, the Gentle Ben Spirit. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blankers is trying to take care of business, so he's not with us right now. What are some things that you've always wanted to say about Blankers, John, that you've never had the opportunity to say? Here's your chance without him in the room.
I don't know, man.
Trying to say on people's... Cat's got your tongue because there's so much to say?
I'm trying to say on everybody's good side here, man. Look, Joe probably already doesn't...
Political game.
Joe probably already doesn't like me because a couple years ago, when I was interning, he had his old show and I called him the other host's name.
You
on
called
accident.
Joel the other host's
yeah,
name?
Yeah, on accident. On what, the way out the door.
What was his reaction? Your mic's not on. And... Yeah.
Jeez, John, that's close. That's a foul ball. Now you're 0-2 with a foul ball.
That's funny.
Should I start with What Up Houston again?
I asked Belmer. Blankers walked in here and goes, Belmer left the on-air light on.
That would have been strike three. Now I got a strike.
I told Blank, we're on the air, Blankers. Okay. I gave Belmer the option to say some things that he's always wanted to say about you since you weren't in the room.
Thanks.
He took the high road. He took
he's
the
a smart
high road.
Man.
I guess.
You, not so much.
Or
I'm sure you'd have
courage.
Just had diarrhea of the mouth.
Oh, no doubt.
Given that opportunity.
I don't need you to, you know, not be in the room to say that.
I've worked with people like you before.
3863. I mean, some of the greats? Or?
I mean, some.
3863 says Trader Joe's has vegan pork rinds. How? Like, I really want to know the science. It can't be pork. Like, they just have to call them vegan rinds.
I agree. That's, right? That is a fact. That is bait and switch. That's not even bait and switch. That's false marketing. You can't call it pork if it's not pork.
How about bacon? Like, people call it vegan bacon. Is that also false advertising?
I think it can be. Do you not agree?
I've never really thought about this. This is territory that I've never charted.
I've tried the
before.
Plant-based bacon.
How did you like it?
It's not bacon. It has a bacon taste to it, but it's not bacon.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine liking it. 8029, I hear your theory, but does Denver have a first-rounder? They do, as a matter of fact. They got it in the Chubb trade. They have San Francisco's first-rounder. So it could be very late. Could be the 32nd pick of the – or it couldn't be 32nd because Miami gave up their pick. But it could be the last pick of the first, 31. It could, if they lose this week, it boosted up. So Denver does have a first-rounder, yes. I think Sean Payton is trending to Denver, if I'm being completely honest.
And I think he feels like he could still get something out of Russ. And he likes the fact that they already have a defense. I mean, the drawback is that division is loaded. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he has more of a ready-to-win-now roster And if they give him at least somewhat, you know, I don't want to say complete control, but they give him a loud voice in the room to get the things that he, because they got some good young receivers. They've got some talent on offense. So it's not like he's coming in and starting from a negative place, less than zero. He's got a lot to work with, and the key is, can you resurrect Russ? And late in the season, after Hackett left, it looked like Russ started to figure some things out to where, you know, maybe there's something left in the tank that he saw.
I don't think Russ is completely done.
I don't either.
I still think Russ has a little bit in the tank. We've kind of been anti-Russ, I think, you and I, for the last couple of years. I still think that if you get a really good, like, Nathaniel Hackett's awful. That's like trying to get something with Pep Hamilton as your offensive coordinator. Like, he was not very good in that role that he was in. I think if you bring in a really good offensive mind, you kind of tell Russell Wilson what his limitations are nowadays, and if he's willing to accept those limitations, I still think that you can win with Denver. And they have, a defense, right? Like, their defense is already very good. You have Sean Payton, who's an offensive-minded guy. He feels like he can boost that offense, right? He doesn't have to worry about that with the defense, and he might not feel like he's all that well-equipped to take a team that doesn't have a defense and boost the defense because he's an offensive guy. Like, if you're going to a team as an offensive wizard, you want a team that you can elevate offensively and already has that defense. So it makes sense from that role. And I, you know, the theory that I have, again, with Fangio interviewing for other jobs, I think is a little bit of a notation that Sean Payton's leaning Denver.
See, and that's what caught me, because the network guys were asking me a question about Nathaniel Hackett and where, you know, could he resurrect his career? I'm like, his career as an offensive coordinator, I don't think took a hit. I think his career as a head coach took a massive hit. And I think that where he could end up next is, well, he's already worked with a veteran quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, but he had two guys in his way that were calling plays before he even had a say. He's got to be able to get into a situation where he can be comfortable. And I think that, you know, through theory of osmosis or just knowing every offensive play played called at every practice in every game, you can pretty much understand how to call a game if you have the right personnel. It's the other things that he didn't get. And I think that that's, you know, Hackett could be an OC with the Jets. He could go back to Green Bay. He could go to a lot of different places and go back to doing the job that he did. He'd be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different ballgame to be the CEO and do all the other things that he's got to do. And I think that that's what I'm talking about with some of the guys that they want to bring in for this job. Like, you may be good at the job that you've been doing for the last several years, but can you prove to me and the Texans organization, I should say, that you could be good at all of the things that go with this job, not the one you were just doing? And some guys, you got to get a vibe in the room that, hey, it's just, I don't know that he's got that. If there's any kind of doubt, you can't go that direction because of what you've done to swing and miss with the first two guys you hired.
It's interesting, too, though, because that's how coaches are hired, based on how they are as a coordinator, as an offense coordinator, defensive coordinator, with a few exceptions, like Harbaugh, special teams coordinator. Tomlin, I don't think, was ever a coordinator on the offense or defensive side of the ball. So there's a few exceptions, but usually those leader of men, those CEOs, are being hired based on how they call games offensively or defensively. And nowadays, a lot of times, they just continue to call plays as the head coach. So it is interesting. Like, you're hiring a guy based on a position that's not really an apple-to-apple comparison for that head coach spot.
But you know what, though, Jeremy? I think, can we be honest? I think Hackett was hired because they thought that he would help get Rodgers. And I think that was one of the lures was, hey, if we get Hackett before they traded for Russ, he could be the in to attracting Rodgers to saying, hey, this is the place for you. And oh, by the way, in your comfort zone, we're bringing Hackett with us so that he can help you just do exactly what you did in Green Bay. And when that didn't work out, now you're looking at a whole different set of circumstances, because it takes one thing, like you said, and I agree with you, that you are getting this job based on what you did in your previous job as a coordinator. But if you are honest with yourself, the same way every interview you go through, sometimes you might say, hey, the expectations and the requirements they have for this job is different than the other jobs I've interviewed for. I have some apprehension about, should I take this job? Well, if you look at it and say, hey, look, there's going to be some guys you interview that they did their job great, but when they come into your job, they have to at least say to themselves, hey, I'm not good at some of these things, and do for yourself before Denver did for you, a senior coaching assistant brought in to just be the guy that tells you when to throw the red flag, when to use your timeouts, how clock management. Some of the things that Hackett just swung and missed on, you either have to be wise enough to say, I need this guy on my staff, or the organization is going to do it for you, and it's a horrible look, but it shows you that you're, I don't want to say totally incompetent, But there's some incompetence to what you're doing as the CEO.
I had a revelation on my drive from New Orleans to Houston in the middle of the night. And I feel like the Texans are paying the price for ignorance. And quite frankly, you can go back a long way. I mean, you can go back all the way to like O'Brien and looking at the price that you're paying for ignorance. You could go back to Easterby and look at the price you're paying for ignorance. You could look at Cal McNair's checking account and look at the price that he's paying for ignorance, whether it was David Culley, Lovie Smith, and even Bill O'Brien, because they fired him with meat left on that contract bone. I look at the head coach, like there's a lot of different ways. And 713-780-ESPN, how do you see the Texans paying the price for ignorance? 713-780-3776. The one that sticks out to me right now is the coach. Because a lot of people want Sean Payton. And I can understand it. Like for you, he's your third option. For me, he's my fourth option. But immediate credibility. Like you have to take the Texans seriously. I think him saying nice things about the Texans brought an element of seriousness to the Houston Texans. If you go back last coaching cycle, though, when the Texans ended up with Lovie Smith, why not Doug Peterson? Like, Doug Peterson's similar to Sean Payton, right? Both of them are very good offensive-minded guys. Both of them have won at a very high level. Both of them have had good quarterback play. I would say that Peterson, you know, brought out the most in Carson Wentz, won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, whereas Sean Payton was able to have an undefeated record for a period of time with Teddy Bridgewater and made Jameis Winston play good football. Doug Peterson was a winning coach. He won a Super Bowl, right? Much like Sean Payton, and did it more recently than Sean Payton. So now everybody's clamoring for Sean Payton, which, again, I get. My fourth option, your third option. But the price that you would have to pay for the ignorance is now a first-round draft pick, be it 12, be it Cleveland's 2024 first-round draft pick, where last year, look, maybe Doug Peterson wasn't going to take the Texans job over the Jacksonville job, although the Jacksonville job was no slam dunk. Remember, there was questions about Trent Baalke and whether Peterson would work with him or not. The Texans could have had a similar guy last year, at least talk to him. Maybe they don't hire him. But how is Doug Peterson not on your coaching search last year, and then Sean Payton all of a sudden might be your top target this season? That's paying the price for ignorance, a potential first, for not talking to Peterson a year ago.
It's ignorance and it's arrogance. Because I think at that time, different than who he is now and what he showed us in the press conference, there was an arrogant Nick Caserio that knew all and was smarter than all. And I think it's changed a little bit, and we've seen that publicly. But I think that's the difference, because Nick didn't want someone that was the smartest guy in the room or as smart as he is with more experience. Nick didn't want a Doug Peterson that was going to come in and have a loud voice in any personnel discussions, because Nick was the man and Nick wanted to prove it. Now he understands, I won't be long for this job if I keep doing the things I'm doing in the way that I've been doing them. So I'm changing a lot of things. And we've seen that with the way he's dealt with the media and been a little bit more humble pie-ish. I think that's exactly why he didn't take Doug Peterson a year ago.
713-780-ESPN. Texans are paying the price for ignorance. I have another example of how the Texans could potentially pay the price for ignorance. What are yours? 713-780-ESPN. How are the Texans paying that price for ignorance? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. The crowd goes wild. Real fun sports.